fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A magnificent Monday to you. Welcome to the program. It is Monday, October the 17th, 2022. And I'm happy to be talking to you. I'm actually coming to you live in a full effect from the worldwide headquarters of Relevant Radio in the Chicago area. And you can call in right now for free to talk to me, 888-914-9149. You can email the program, as always, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Come and follow me, and I will give you tweets. That's all I can promise you, though. We also have a show account as well, at Cale Clark Show, which is a place where you can also contact us along with email, with show ideas or comments or questions. Love to hear from our listeners. And yes, that voice that you heard in the background laughing at my extremely lame joke is none other than Preston Alex, who is joining me live in studio. I'm looking at him face to face. This is a lot of fun. This is the first time we've done this in person. We're going to have another Money Monday segment here on the Cale Clark Show with Preston Alex, who's the VP of accounting here at Relevant Radio. And he's also, technically speaking, he's also the controller of Relevant Radio. And he's been teased about this a lot.
But that's okay. You know, I make sure things are running a smooth ship around here.
Hey, somebody needs to control us and put us all in line.
It's all about money, really, on my end, but that's good too.
Well, it's interesting too, because, you know, in terms of keeping everybody in line, keeping everybody disciplined, we also have to be disciplined with our finances. And Preston, you joined me last month. We talked about building a budget. Right. And this is a really practical thing to talk about. And what I'd like to do this time is figure out now, once we have a budget set up, and by the way, we'll put a link to that original episode in the show notes if anybody wants to kind of get caught up on that, how to build a budget. We had a great discussion on that not too long ago. But once you have your budget set up, the question is, how do you actually live that out? How do you implement it? And I feel like, Preston, when it comes to everything that we've been entrusted with in our life, the virtues always come into play for us as Catholics. And I think when it comes to finances, I think prudence is really one of the big ones, isn't it?
Absolutely. Prudent living definitely is the ability to take a few extra steps to make sure that we can live on the budget and do it easier. You know, so I think it's important to have that prudence because it looks forward to the future. So we don't have as much impulsive tendencies. We can have delayed gratification, that we can, you know, be responsible with staying within our budget, staying within what we have available to spend.
Oh, that's absolutely crucial to do that. And by the way, you can call in if you have a question for Preston about money management, how to take care of your family finances. It's a really practical thing to talk about. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. I'm sure that Preston would be happy to take your question. And first of all, let me say this. Where we are in Chicago right now, we're getting close to the dinner hour. And so my stomach is grumbling a little bit, I can tell you that. Yeah. But I'd like you to give us, Preston, a little food for thought, quote unquote. We really have to put our money where our mouth is, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, like, I think you're hinting at the point that, you know, food can bust any budget. I have 8 kids, 4 boys. They're eating me out of house and home in a good way. I mean, they're great kids. But I think the food item in the budget can definitely be one that breaks it. And one thing that my wife and I have realized, and my wife is much better at this than I am, is making a weekly meal plan. And sticking to it. And she actually caught on to this before I did. And she showed me how important it is to do this, because then we stick to our grocery list and we stick to the discipline of not eating out, because we already have a plan of what we're going to eat that night. And so we're less likely to go spend extra money on eating out or, you know, not knowing what we're going to do. And the kids are excited, because rather than me getting asked every 5 minutes, what are we having for dinner, Dad? I can just say, go look at the fridge. Mom has a meal plan. So it makes that a lot easier.
Read the menu.
Yep. And so that's really helpful to that. And then, you know, when we do eat out with food, budget. We typically drink water at the restaurant. You know, water is both healthier and a lot cheaper than soda or alcoholic drinks. And
that's true.
Yeah, a really easy way to save money at a restaurant.
It's so true. When you get that bill when you're eating out, very often it's the drink bill that really kills you, isn't it?
It can be as much as 20-25%. You know, imagine if you had a coupon every time you went to a restaurant for 25% off.
Oof, well, you know, that's another way to look at it. I like that.
Just get water.
Yeah, and there's always
not as exciting. Some people actually like getting a drink when they grow out because it's the only time they drink, which is fine. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just talking about taking some prudent living. If you find that food is something that's busting your budget every month, here are some ideas. You know, make a meal plan and drink water at restaurants.
Like it, you always have to live with your server. You see the countenance just fall when you order water, you know, because they know that their tip is going to be less. but maybe you can still take care of them anyways.
Yeah,
that's such a great point. You know, you can really live on the edge and say, "I'll have water with lemon, please."
There you go. I do that. Actually, that's what I do. I almost always ask for lemon.
Feels kind of exotic, doesn't it? Well, kids, we're really gonna go crazy tonight. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Preston Alex. We're talking about money matters on this Money Monday. If you have a question about family finances, how to live it better, get that area of your life under control, why not give us a call right now, 888-914-9149. We've got a couple phone lines open, so now's a good time. If you want to get in, grab a vine, 888-914-9149. And I like what you said too, Preston, about meal planning. That, and this is definitely true in my household. If there is no plan, I hope my wife isn't listening. I'm not blaming you, honey. This is my fault. This is all my fault. But it's true that very often we'll revert to, let's just eat out. Let's just take out. If we don't know exactly what we're going to be doing that day. And so just planning it ahead. Yeah. That's a really good
thing. And another thing we do with dinner. So sometimes, you know, we have the issue where we have 8 children. So some of the times they don't always want to eat what we have available. So something we always have available is bread and fruit. And that's usually, you know, if you don't want to eat what we cook, you know, you can have some toast and you can have fruit. And that usually is enough incentive to have them at least try what we're making. And and at the same time, they still get nutrients and things. And, you know, by and large, it's really a good strategy,
I think.
For parents with kids.
Who might be picky eaters.
A little bit more picky eaters. So.
Yeah, there's the prison diet, bread and water. You can try that. And, okay, maybe I will have the Brussels sprouts after all. I don't know. I like that. That's a really, really good tip. That's a really good tip. And how do you deal, by the way, just while we're on the subject, how do you deal with what's a good way to, other than that, what's a good way to deal with picky eaters? Do you find your kids are picky by and large?
I have some picky eaters and, you know, by and large, I don't push it too hard. You know, my wife's solution sometimes is to use ketchup. You know, sometimes that gets a lot of the picky eaters to eat things that aren't. But then they get used to eating it, and the ketchup is kind of a side thing. And sometimes they don't even need it after a while. You know, they'll just – so it's kind of a trick to allow them to feel comfortable with it. And then, you know, eventually you can kind of take ketchup away, and they're like, okay, this isn't so bad. That's just one idea.
I like it.
And, you know, sometimes I'm finding myself making meals that cater to my kids, and that's okay too. You know, as long as there's trying to do somewhat healthy, but that's not so bad.
That's not so bad. Well, we're going to help you catch up with your family finances. Oh, that's a tortured pun, I'll tell you. But no, that's good. Maybe have the kids pick a meal night. Yeah. Maybe pick a menu item. And they get excited about that. Maybe even help out with making it. Wow.
Yeah, that's something we do too.
I love it. Well, listen, one thing I always say is, and I don't know if you know the answer to this question, Preston, but I'm going to quiz you here on your Catholic knowledge. Who is the patron saint of shopping? Do you know who that is?
I do not know. I don't even want to guess.
It is Saint Francis de Sales.
Interesting.
Saint Francis of Sales.
I would
Sales.
Not have expected that.
I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
Saint Francis of Sales. Get it? Saint Francis de Sales.
Oh, okay. Now I got it.
I was so excited about
Introduction to the Devout Life. And I'm like thinking, did he talk about shopping in that book? And you're just making a fun joke.
Well, no. By the way,
I like it.
By the way, that's a great book. Introduction to, if you're looking for some spiritual reading, just to switch gears a little bit, and you don't know where to start, that's an amazing, amazing book.
Introduction to
the Devout Life. St. Francis de Sales wrote this book. It's a series of letters of spiritual direction that he wrote, you know, by letter. These days, you know, we can often meet with a spiritual director in person, but in those days, he corresponded by letter, and it was with a wife and a mother. And it's amazing to read this stuff because he expected her to be a great saint. He expected her to reach the heights of sanctity and say, oh, you don't, you know, hey. And back then, clericalism was still pretty big in the church. That, you know, this thought that many people had that only religious can be saints or only priests, bishops, deacons. No. Every baptized person can become a saint. Anyways, but that was my little joke. And but that's a really tortured segue to ask you about sales.
Okay. Sales, coupons. I assume you talk about discount sales, right?
Any kind of sales.
Making sales. Well, I mean, we do a lot of shopping at Costco and Sam's Club just because we found that, you know, buying in bulk tends to do better. Mm. So a lot of times we go shopping to one of those stores once a week or twice a week or every other week, depending on what we need for our budget. But then we buy a lot of times our fruit from a local grocery store. Just because it otherwise sometimes those big bulk box stores, the food goes bad before we can eat it all.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Large quantities.
Yeah. Right. And then sometimes, you know, we find that, we save a lot of money by buying generic food brands. I was kind of an aversion towards doing that. Mm-hmm. But then I had a college professor, believe it or not, who worked at Kimberly Clark.
And
it's a big major manufacturer that makes Kleenex brands. Yeah. And she talked about how oftentimes she'd negotiate contracts with these private labels, how they'd basically make the same product for them, the same Kleenex is that you find in a Kleenex thing, but under a different label. Right. And she's like, if I were you, I'd just buy generic because it's the same product. And yeah. It shook me. I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it. In my young college brain, I could not fathom that, you know, the store brand isn't any worse than what the name brand is. So all of a sudden I started buying a lot more stay-on ruts. And clarifying, that doesn't work for every store brand and it doesn't work for every product. However, there are some it doesn't really make much of a difference because the manufacturers are making it for both the private label and the store brand or the name brand. So you can save a lot of money doing the store brand if you find the ones that you like. So.
That's a good tip. And I remember reading an article about this actually on the net. I wish I could remember the source, but it was all about Costco and their house brand, of course, is Kirkland.
Right.
And the article was basically like, which Kirkland brands are really big name brands just under this private label? And it went through like all these different food products and clothing products and all kinds of different things. And some of them were not. Some of them were actually manufactured just for Costco or their own thing, whatever. But the vast majority were actually well-known brands just at discount just prices,
different,
obviously.
Yeah, discount price, different label.
And it's funny, too, that you mentioned Kimberly Clark because – that's true for a lot of drugs as well. And by that, I mean over-the-counter, like aspirin, Tylenol, Advil. There are generic versions of these. If you go to Walmart or if you go to any store, they have their own sort of knockoff brand. Yeah. But it's the same exact formula. You could just read the label because my understanding is that there's a sort of a statute of limitations on this stuff, like how long you can manufacture it, under a proprietary fashion, under your own label. And then you got to sort of share the recipe with the whole world.
Yeah, it's under patent law. So like then they can, once that patent expires, you know, anybody can copycat it without any kind of repercussions. And, you know, interesting enough, a lot of times rather than companies copying it, they just go to the same company like Tylenol and say, hey, manufacture this for us and we'll slap our own label on it. So,
yeah.
So
exactly.
But yeah.
That happens a lot. So, that's a great way to be a smart shopper, really, really important because this is all sort of under the label of stewardship, right? Speaking of private labels, we have to be good stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And this falls under treasure,
right.
and just being the wise steward and the generous steward as well. It's really important. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Preston Alex. It's a Money Monday. We're talking about how to manage our family finances. So we've got to take a quick break right now, but we'll be right back. And if you want to call in, we'll try to get your phone calls in, 888-914-9149. If you have a question about this topic, call in right now, 888-914-9149.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back on this Monday. Preston Alex is joining me. It's a Money Monday. We're talking about family finances right now. And hey, if you have a question, you can call in. 888-914-9149. Once again, that number, 888-914-9149. Toll free. So that helps with the family finances too, Preston. It's a free phone call. No quarters necessary in the machine. Anyways, who does that even? It's hard to even find an actual phone booth anywhere, but so. To change into my Superman costume. But anyways, let's go to the phones right now. Don is calling from Houston, from H-Town in Texas. Hi, Don. What's your question?
Yeah, sir. I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
My daughter and her boyfriend were engaged, and they had purchased a timeshare together in Hawaii, and the engagement is now broken off.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and it's I think it's for the best.
Okay.
But so basically, my question is, the timeshare is for in perpetuity, and so basically, they signed their names. And they were paying it half and half, and now he's now that the engagement is off, he's walked away from it and says it's not his problem anymore. He's washing his hands of it, and so he's not paying his part. And so I'm wondering, is there something we can do to get him to pay his part? And is there something that they can do just to completely get out of this thing? And I think it's a big mess.
Well, Don, thanks for calling in. That's a question that comes up from time to time. And Preston, you have any experience with timeshares?
I have a little bit. So I will say this. The timeshare companies, the law is a little bit different in each state. But I will say this. As a general rule, don't ever get into a timeshare. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that see it and they see the points and they see the value. And they're trying to convert this, like this excitement of vacation into making savings and stuff. But I will say it's like prepaying for your hotel bill for the next 20 years. And, and even then you get stuck with maintenance costs and things that go up that you have no control over. And they can basically raise the rates, way higher than what's reasonable. And you have no control over it. There are companies out there. If you Google them, there's attorneys that can talk to the timeshare and actually basically get rid of the timeshare for you. It's usually it can be cost as much as $3,000 to $5,000 though, but by and large, you probably would save that over the next 2 to 3 years. And, I was going to say, when I heard this caller, I was going to say, if the breakup happened, tell her to give it to him and just say, wash her hands and say, we'll get the deed over to him. But if that's not the case where he's actually doing it, I would strongly recommend just calling a company, paying the fee to have the lawyers litigate this and get this, unfortunate circumstance dealt with. I haven't seen personally where they pay out well. There's some people that love them, and I'm understanding to that. But I think by and large, you'd be better off just paying the money for a hotel. And a lot, you'll be, what's really interesting, a lot of times these timeshares do sell the rooms on the open market as just a regular hotel room. And if you book it for a week stay, they give you like 50% off, and you end up saving way more than you would have done on the timeshare.
Oh yeah.
And there's another where they say that, if you have a timeshare, we'll give you discounts through the online portal when you book through other hotels. So I think IHG does this a lot. They have this portal where they say, if you are a timeshare owner, you go through this portal and you'll get discounts on the hotel rates. Well, when you go in there and you put in your details and then you go to like just the regular like HolidayInn.com, the portal with the timeshare owners is actually charging you more. And they say it's a discounted rate, but it really isn't, and they're tricking you. And it's a very bad business, in my opinion, in many ways, because of how they hold basically people hostage with this deed. So, I can't encourage people enough to stay away from it.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that this gentleman and his daughter is going through a tough time, but it sounds like the best thing to do is try and get out.
Yeah. And as you say, the legal costs are going to be what they are, but it's probably going to be a lot less than continuing on with the timeshare, and someone's going to have to pay for that. So, I think that's great advice, Preston, to just seek out a lawyer online. I'm sure you can Google timeshare lawyers, even that those two words might bring up a host of results for you. Right. So thank you very much for that call, Don, and we'll certainly pray that the situation gets resolved. And Preston, my wife is on the line. I don't know what I've done here, but I think I better let her on. So this is Patricia. Right. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. It's great to hear from you. Did I forget something?
Right? No, this is just proof that I listen to the Cale Clark Show.
Okay.
I actually have a question for Preston.
All right. I'm not offended at all, by the way, that you don't have a question for me. But go ahead, ask Preston.
So my question is, I have a lot of friends who say that, when they're talking about growing their families, they say, we want to stop at, however many kids they have because we can't afford to have another one. And I know, as faithful Catholics, we say, the Lord will provide and things will grow. But from a financial point of view, how do you prepare when you find out you're having another child? How do you prepare for that? Or how do you make sure that there's room in the finances to, to grow your family?
Sure.
That's a great question, Patricia. That's
wonderful. So one thing my wife says that I'm going to preface this all with is she says every mom knows her limit in the number of kids. And I don't know exactly what that means because I'm not a mother, but she just says, every mom has her limit where she kind of just knows where that point is, where she's at what she can handle. But I think oftentimes if finances are the reason, that is something that can be overcome. If people say that I can't afford this, it's amazing how much room people generally have in their budget when they start being less selfish. When they have more children to feed, there's a certain element where they find areas to cut. And maybe they're buying more store brands. Maybe they're buying more in bulk at Costco than being more responsible towards doing some of these other prudent living things that we're talking about, where they're not eating out as much, where they're being more careful about what they do for travel and vacations. And, in some ways it's not as fun maybe, taking away some of those things, but what you gain is the joy of children. And just as a dad, I can't speak to that enough, that there is a joy and a goodness that comes through fatherhood and motherhood. And children keep us, young, they keep us joyful, and they teach us to be less selfish. And I think ultimately it's a training grounds for sainthood in many ways. So
that's a great answer, Preston. And it kind of reminds me of St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei. He used to say that whenever a child is born, that child comes carrying a loaf of bread under its arm.
That's a great thing. Yeah, God has blessed me personally. Every time I keep having kids, it's like, how am I going to, manage all this? I feel like I have nowhere to cut in my budget. And all of a sudden, something happens where I get a promotion or I have a raise or things like that, that it's just like everything is worked out. And I, I entrust my day to St. Joseph just to help me every day. And it always works out.
I love
God
it.
Is there for us.
Well, thank you very much, Patricia, for that question. That's a really good question, because you do hear this a lot from families. I think there's no way I can do this, but there is always a way. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Preston Alex, VP of Accounting here at Relevant Radio, talking about family finances and how to manage them better. And these tips that you're giving, Preston, really do help families in that regard. And I want to ask you about something else. It's funny. I was in a bookstore the other day, and I saw a book by this guy. Well, most of our listeners have probably at least heard of these people, Chip and Joanna Gaines. They're very famous on HGTV, flipping houses and design, all this stuff. They've created this huge empire. And the book was kind of about how he does it and stuff like that. My question for you is, are you a handyman? Are you able to flip a house if need be?
I definitely am not to the caliber of the Gaines family. And by no means would I consider myself a handyman, but I do consider myself someone willing to try. And I think a lot of times we're so nervous and so scared. Me personally, this was with me with cars, and all of a sudden I had a friend come and show me how to do something. I was like, oh, it's actually not that hard. And I just YouTube video a lot of things, and it's amazing.
What a resource.
How much, how much I can save by, you know, replacing, you know, the sink myself, the faucet. That's something that's actually fairly easy to do. And I was able to replace the faucet that was leaking, you know, just like that, or, you know, just, you know, simple things like that, that I was able to Google and figure out. And, you know, I think that everyone can save a lot of money just by trying to YouTube it. It's amazing how much is out there. And if all of a sudden something breaks, you know, there's an opportunity to call someone to fix it there, but you're not out any more than you would have if you hadn't tried. So
do you have a budget for home repairs as well?
We do. Yeah.
Okay.
We set some money aside for home repairs, and I know, like, my AC unit's getting old, so I know that there's going to be big costs there. So not just home repairs, but larger purchases of the home. So, like, the HVAC system is a big one.
Oh yeah.
You know, we have an old AC unit that I'm like, that thing's going to go dead any day. So, you know, I'm trying to plan around that. And, you know, there's lots of different things that go into home maintenance, and having that budget's key. The nice thing though is when you fix things up, you usually get it back in equity. So that's a good thing on managing the house. So
you're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. You can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We're talking to Preston Alex about family finances, getting real practical today on this Money Monday. And there's been a lot of talk, Preston, obviously, in the culture about the dangers of social media. People could get very addicted to it. You know, still follow me on Twitter. Don't get me wrong about that. But we can start doom scrolling forever. But there is one good application that you found with social media, right? In particular, Facebook,
their marketplace is really well done. I can't tell you how many times I needed something for our house, especially furnishing, that I went on there, typed it in. I was like, hey, I need a new couch, and like practically brand new from this guy that, you know, just got out of the store. He didn't like the color, and, you know, he sold it to me for a quarter of the cost. You know, I just had to go pick it up and bring it to my house, and I was good to go. And a lot of the things that my wife and I have in our house, it's mostly furnished through Facebook Marketplace and Goodwill and thrift stores. It's amazing how much that can be saved. And if you're, you know, reasonably, you know, careful when you're looking at it, when you're buying it on, when you get to the site where this person has it, you know, you make sure it's in good shape. But as long as you do that, most people don't know. And it makes me a better dad. And here's how, you know, I'm not so concerned about something I bought used than I would be if I bought a brand new couch and spent, you know, $2,000, $3,000. I'd be freaking out when my kids spill something
Don't
on
spill
it.
Anything.
So, yeah, I think that's a good mentality to have, is you don't have as much attachment. You can still have the same enjoyment from it. So.
Yeah, and the same is true for cars, too. A used car, you're not used so worried car. About it getting dinged up in the parking lot, right, which inevitably is going to happen on a windy day. Somebody's door blows open or something like that. That's a great point. So Facebook Marketplace, which is kind of where users just sell things privately to other users. Yeah. No tax involved as well. Uncle Sam can't get involved.
And I found there's less scammers on Facebook Marketplace than Craigslist.
Okay.
I just think that's because there's, like, kind of profiles. There's a little bit more accountability. That doesn't mean that there isn't scammers on Facebook. I have seen that too. But especially when some things. But yeah, I think it's a good place to go for at least to start if you need something new.
That's a great tip. So, hey, face the book, right? And I've often used that. Forget about Facebook. Face the book. Read the Bible. But you can go on Facebook as well for some deals as well. I love that. Okay, Preston. Here's something I wanted to ask you about. When you gave a presentation to all the staff at Relevant Radio, which is so much fun, in our Day of Formation recently, you talked about two very, very dangerous words that we have to be really careful of in our vocabulary. Right. What are they?
All right. Target and Chick-fil-A. No. For our house, that's kind of the two words.
I love Chick-fil-A.
It's great. But the actual two words that I share at the talk was it's only.
It's only.
The words "it's only" can break any budget, in my opinion. And it's because, you know, we'll say it's only a dollar. Oh, it's only $10. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm only doing this because it's only one time that I have my family in town that I can do this with them. It's only fill in the blank. You know,
it happens every day.
It happens all the time. We kind of make excuses. We're kind of justifying ourselves to do whatever it is that we're doing. We're admitting that this is a bad idea when we start with the words "it's only."
Yeah, that's a good point. Where it's a way of justifying.
Whether or not we have a budget or not, we almost know that we shouldn't be spending this kind of money on whatever we're doing, and we're making a kind of a justification towards it. And so for us to be really, really prudent in our budgeting and our life, whenever we catch ourselves saying it's only, that's usually meaning that you're spending more than you ought to on that particular thing. And what's nice is when you do have a budget, you can say, oh yeah, you know what? I can take this from my special fund or my fun fund, you know, and I can, I can make this work with my budget this week, or I really can't. Maybe I really should be a little bit more disciplined in this decision and be a little bit more prudent and say, you know, I would love to go to Six Flags with my family, but because it's only because they're here, but maybe we can go on a hike through the park instead. That's free. And it's more fun in the sense of just, you know, being together as a family. You know, you can still get a lot of enjoyment from things that don't cost a lot, and that might be a red flag when you start saying it's only.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, Preston. You also talked about how it kind of ties into your identity as well, how you see yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did talk a little bit about your identity, and, you know, if we want to change our habits and change how we live, it's important to first kind of identify how we see ourselves. So, you know, the example I gave in the retreat is, you know, there's a difference between someone who says, I'm really trying to quit smoking, and someone says, I'm not a smoker. So the person that's embraced that identity, I'm not a smoker, is going to be far more likely to never smoke than someone that says, I'm trying to quit smoking, because the person that's trying to quit smoking is just going to fail the next time their willpower fails. Whereas someone that says, I'm not a smoker, it's actually their brain saying, no, you know what? I'm not going to take that cigarette because I'm not a smoker. Mm. Even though they might have smoked for 20 years, if they say, I'm not a smoker, you know, it's changing who they are, and they're going to all of a sudden, their brain is going to actually help them overcome that habit because they've shaped that new identity. And that can be applied to any habit that we're trying to do. It could be, you know, money matter. I'm a person who hates debt. You know, I'm a person who hates debt. That person is going to be far more likely to not spend money and to pay off their debt than someone who says, you know, I'm trying to, you know, do better with my money. You know, when you start making an identity, you speak back to that, and it changes how you see things, and it changes how you take care of your money. I think when you start doing that identity shift.
I like that positive self-talk. Yeah. And it's almost one of the things that I think we think about theologically sometimes, and not to get too highfalutin about this, but the body educates the soul in a certain sense, the body educates the mind. And when you use your voice to tell yourself these things, hopefully it will work. Just like when we go to Mass, we kneel. It's an act of reverence towards our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We take the holy water, make the sign of the cross over our body, saying, I belong to God, body and soul. We're educating ourselves with these things. So we always have to speak truthful things and who we aspire to be. Like, I am a healthy person. I am a healthy eater. Do I really believe that? I don't know. Not when I go to Chick-fil-A. No, Chick-fil-A is great. But it's still not as good as producer Jim's schnitzel, which he was very kind enough to invite me over. Yeah. And wow, did he ever give us a feed last night. It was a lot of fun. But anyways, we had the show team over. Thank you, Jim, for that. Well, this is great. Well, we're going to take a little quick break here on the Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back after this with much more from Preston Alex. And we're also going to talk about We're going to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about dads and talk about a very positive portrayal of dads in the media from a pretty unlikely source. We'll have that right after the break. It's Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states. Mom! Dad! Hey, welcome back to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you know that tune, you know that is the theme song from the animated series Bluey. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I want to remind you that November is coming up very, very quickly, and in that month, We always celebrate the lives of our friends and family who have passed on. We pray for their entry into the kingdom of heaven. So you can join your Relevant Radio family in praying from November the 2nd through the 10th, as we're going to be offering a novena for these holy souls on those days, November 2nd through the 10th. And you can submit up to 20 names of your departed loved ones. You can go to relevantradio.com/souls. Once again, it's relevantradio.com/souls. And you can do that right up until the end of the novena on November the 10th. And when you give us the names of your loved ones that we're going to pray for, you're also going to receive a very special reflection each day from Father Rocky every day of the novena to help you to enter more deeply into this prayer. So you can add the names of your loved ones at relevantradio.com/souls. And please join us every day as we pray for them during the Holy Mass, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Family Rosary Across America right here on Relevant Radio. And Preston Alex is joining me today, VP of Accounting here at Relevant Radio. And I saw Preston in the office a couple of days ago, and he was wearing a Bluey t-shirt. So I said, oh man, I have to ask you about this when you come on the show. Now, if you've never heard of Bluey, Bluey's an animated series that came out in 2018 out of Australia, and it's about an Australian blue heeler dog. Now, if you've never heard of these, they are a real thing. You can Google some images of blue heelers. But it's about a six-year-old Australian blue heeler. And just can you explain a little bit about this animated canine family and why it's so important, Preston?
Yeah, talking about it sounds a little weird. We're watching dogs on a dog cartoon. But it's really, at its essence, the joy of family life portrayed on screen. I mean, every episode, it seems like the dad is playing with their kids and they're making up new games. It's improv. It's getting past your own obstacles. The kid, you know, comes up with the craziest idea, you know, like this idea of a feather wand where it's going to make everything heavy. And the kid tells the dad, you're now heavy. And, you know, and the dad just drops to the floor, you know, or, you know, barely walk. So, you know, it's this idea of just having fun with the kids, you know, be receptive to what they're saying and having fun and just, you know, getting away from the screens. It's just a really wholesome family show.
Well, we've got a clip for you. And this is from the episode called Daddy Robot. Check it out.
Fold, 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 fold.
Ah, that's laundry! She's not laundry!
Oh no, a guinea pig has escaped.
What? Ah! Mom, Daddy Robot thinks I'm a guinea pig! What should I do?
Yeah, come back here, guinea pig!
You have to brush his nose to turn him off!
But how? I know, I've got an idea!
Brah, 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 brah!
Look, Daddy Robot! It's a mommy robot.
Hello.
Cheese and crackers. You're the most beautiful robot I've ever seen.
Boop, boop, boop. You are too kind.
My name is Daddy Robot.
That was a little odd.
Please pretend I didn't just do that.
It is hard to unsee something like that.
Even so. Yeah! Off these furry creatures!
All right now, turn them off!
Touch his nose, touch his nose!
Powering down. Cursed to depart, having only just known your beauty.
Poor Daddy Robot. Every dad has had to do this, has had to do voices, and it's just as you mentioned, Preston, Bluey is a great example of a positive view of family life, but it's also a great example of a positive view of fathers, and you don't often see this in sitcoms, and this isn't exactly for kids, but maybe the classic example of Homer Simpson being an animated dad who is an absolute disaster. So in a lot of shows, the dad is the knucklehead, the dad is the screw-up, the dad is the idiot, very often disrespected. And I actually had Doug Hinderer on – I was guest hosting the Drew Mariani Show on Friday, and Doug Hinderer, marriage therapist, came on. And one of the things that he said is that for men, their number one need is – not what you might think. Their number one need is to be respected. to be respected. Yeah. And often dads are not shown a great deal of respect in modern media. But Bluey is different, isn't it, Preston?
It's absolutely different. And the kids respect the dad. And the wife and him have a good relationship. They're talking. They're communicating. He's complimenting her. You just heard in that thing, you know, the most beautiful robot I've ever seen, you know. And that's not the only episode where he's complimenting his wife. And she's... you know, respecting him, and he's got friends, you know, that aren't dumb, and they're not doing stupid things. They're just hanging out. They're exchanging food. They play games with the kids together. And they're just showing authentic friendship. You know, one of my favorite episodes is Stumpfest. The dad, Bandit is his name, and his friends get together and they just axe away at a stump in the backyard, you know, just for fun, you know, and, so it's kind
good,
of
clean fun.
Good, clean fun. So
it's interesting. There was an article that came out on the Word on Fire blog by Tim Scheidler about Bluey. And by the way, each episode of Bluey is only 7 minutes long, but it's hard to watch just one. You're going to want to keep going. It's extremely well done. But the article was called Bluey, Why a Cartoon Dog is the Dad I Aspire to Be. And he talked about a lot of the things that we've been discussing. And it was kind of interesting. He also linked to... some reflections that Pope Francis had on fatherhood. And it was all about, of course, the Pope means Papa, means father, but he was talking about another father, Saint Joseph. Now, of course, last year we had, back in 2020, actually on December the 8th, it was the 150th anniversary of the proclamation of Saint Joseph as the patron of the universal church. He's kind of a father that watches over the entire church. And he wrote an apostolic letter, did Pope Francis. It was called Patris Cordae, which means with a father's heart. So here's a little clip, a little selection from that that letter about St. Joseph, about fatherhood. Pope Francis wrote, quote, "Fathers are not born, but made. A man does not become a father simply by bringing a child into the world, but by taking up the responsibility to care for that child. Whenever a man accepts responsibility for the life of another, in some way, he becomes a father to that person. Being a father entails introducing children to life and reality, not holding them back, being overprotective or possessive, but rather making them capable of deciding for themselves, enjoying freedom, and exploring new possibilities. Does that resonate with you, Preston, as a dad?
And yeah. Yes, it's spot on. You know, I agree that dads are not born, they're made. And this idea that we have to take upon that responsibility. Most dads don't have that, you know, graduate degree in parenting. Mm-hmm. There isn't necessarily this, you know, a bachelor degree of being a great dad. You know, that's kind of why I think what you just shared was important for us all to hear and to reflect on, and why I love Bluey so much, because it helps me remember that call to just be fun with my kids, to be attentive to them, and to get out of my shell. You know, I think if you watch any episode of Bluey, I'd say the one called Promises is one of the best.
Promises. Okay. What's that about?
So it's about making promises and breaking promises. And, you know, Bandit makes a promise and then, you know, he breaks it. And then he uses a promise to kind of get his kid to do something that was not very fair. And he kind of, and then he just apologizes. He's right. The mom kind of points out that's not how promises work. And then he's just like, sorry. And, you know, and then she says, keep promises. And, you know, at the end, he's just, you know, he ends the episode telling his kids, I promise I'll always love you, you know? I think that it just spoke to me, and just thinking, you know what, you know, we're called to really love our kids and to be there. And it's amazing, really, just fatherhood in general, but just this idea that we can take responsibility for our kids and get outside of our shell.
There's so much in Bluey, in this animated series, that it's amazing. And one of the things that Tim Scheidler talked about in his article about it was, believe it or not, in this cartoon about a dog and his family, you really see the transcendentals. We talk about the transcendentals of the true, the good, and the beautiful. And these are ways that we can spread the faith. Some people are drawn to the faith through beauty. Maybe they walk into a beautiful cathedral. Just on Saturday, I visited the shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe in Marytown, just not too far from our studios here at Relevant Radio. And I was really moved by the beauty of this church, and they have this 7-foot-high monstrance for adoration. It was just a really powerful experience for me. And some people are drawn to the faith through beauty. Other people are drawn through what is good, and through some people are drawn because of truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the truth of our doctrine, how it coheres with everyday life. It's like a key that fits perfectly into a lock because this is how we are made. So Bluey, in that way, it's very artistically beautiful. It really is. Right. Yeah. Some of the episodes are just gorgeous.
Yeah, there's an episode called Rain that my daughter, you know, she's a little girl, and you know, it's just so peaceful and calming, and she loves to watch it before she goes to sleep. And you know, it is. It's just there's a lot of great things that they're speaking to. And it's not going to teach us the truth of the faith, you know, like how you just talked about, in the sense of like, I wish there was an episode where Bluey and Bandit would sit down and they pray together, you know, say some night prayers, you know, that hasn't happened. It's more of a secular show. So it's speaking to other qualities of fatherhood, you know, and it's also not saying let the kids run wild. They actually have an episode about how there's a parenting book that says, let your kids make their own decisions. And let them, you know, run amok, and you know, they stay in the bathtub all night so they don't have to go to bed, you know, kind of thing. And they keep playing, and it turns out to be a wreck. And he throws the book in the trash at the end, showing how, you know, they're not trying to promote this idea where the kids run the house. You know, it's about authentically taking your kids and showing them the right way to live, letting them make mistakes, and at the same time guiding them to do the right thing. You know, there's an episode called Bike, you know, where Bluey keeps falling down on the bike, and then she sees her friends, you know, overcome some obstacles in their own life. And Bandit's just like, watch them, watch how they overcome it. And then after she sees her friends overcome these obstacles that they're facing, she goes and tries riding the bike again until she gets it. So, you know, there's some really great life lessons there.
Oh yeah.
I could talk about it way probably too much than anybody would want to listen to, but it really is well done.
Oh yeah, it really is. So, and it's wholesome media that you can, you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about sitting down with your family and saying, "Oh, well, you know, do I have to monitor this? What's going to be coming up in the next few minutes?" And you know, we give it our, I would say, I can't speak for Relevant Radio, but we give it the Relevant Radio seal of approval. Okay, at least two of us, you know,
at least
and three of us. Producer Jim loves it too. Yeah. So there you go. 888-914-9149. Last few moments on the Cale Clark Show today, and. That quote from Pope Francis, when he said, being a father entails introducing children to life and reality, not holding them back, not being overprotective or possessive, but making them capable of deciding for themselves, enjoying freedom and exploring new possibilities. We've been talking a lot about money matters. And with your children, Preston, have you been trying to inculcate some lessons about freedom, responsibility, even at a young age?
Yeah, so something we do instead of allowances is we give the kids extra jobs to do. So like weeding or, you know, helping dad build something or fix something or painting or things like that around the house that are beyond like dishes and laundry, which is kind of what they have to do every day. And those extra jobs they earn money for, and then we pay them, and then they can use that money in responsible ways, learn how spending works. All of a sudden it's gone, or you know, how to save. We have you know, these different piggy banks that have a save, you know, item for them, so they can save for bigger things. We talk to them about, what are you trying to save for? We definitely encourage tithing to the church. Our kids get to take their own money and put it in the basket rather than it just coming from mom or dad. And I think that speaks a little bit more to powerful. That idea of, you know, they're helping providing for the needs of the church directly. And that connects them to the church in ways that matter, and ways that don't happen just through prayer. When they actually give and sacrifice, it really connects them to Christ.
And prayer and almsgiving is so powerful. And I love that. And obviously kids, you know, you don't want them fasting, you know, they're growing and stuff like that. But there's a certain age at which they can do this, of course. Yeah. But I love that prayer and almsgiving, even for kids, they can pick up on this. And I love that because it gives them the connection between work and finances.
Yeah.
And even at a young age, they can learn that, hey, money literally does not grow on trees. You know, don't expect Daddy Warbucks to give you a massive inheritance here. Right. You're going to have to somehow earn your keep.
Yep. And then it's important that you use that money wisely, not just earn it, but to use it wisely. And you know, we do our best. We're not the greatest parents at this, and you know, our kids aren't the best at money management. But at the same time, we're trying, and they're making mistakes. They're figuring it out. We're figuring things out. You know. I help her figuring them out. But we really do enjoy it, and I think they do too.
Oh, Preston, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We're all on the journey, right? And yeah, we're all trying to get just a little bit better every day. Preston, Alex, thank you for taking the time. It's been real. We'll do it again soon. Another real practical episode on a Money Monday here. We don't do it all the time, but we did do it this Monday on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Well, tomorrow, you won't want to miss tomorrow's show because we've got a couple of really dynamic guests as well for tomorrow. I'm not going to reveal who they are, but I can't wait. Let's just put it that way. I can't wait. And hopefully you'll be with me again at this time tomorrow. Don't forget The Faith Explained, 12:30 Central, right after Holy Mass. We're going through the exciting book of Exodus. So join me for that tomorrow for a brand new exciting episode. And coming up next, it's Timory and then the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. Jim Shaper produced. Patrick Alog took your phone calls. Hey, my wife called in. Now let's hear from my daughter. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.